What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are recording on Thursday night, September 26th. And this is episode number 235. In today's episode, we will be recapping the victory over the Arizona State Sun Devils, and we will be getting ready for the upcoming matchup, the first matchup with the Cincinnati Bearcats. And so, fun episode coming up, another victory to discuss, another game to get ready for, our last home game of a three-home game stand. So we're excited to get into all that. But before we do, always got to make sure you are following the tailgate. Follow us on Apple. Follow us on Spotify. Give us those five stars. Five stars for the tailgate. If you listen to us on Apple, you can always leave us a kind review there. We always appreciate those. If you want to follow us on social media, follow us on Twitter at @tailgate_talks. That's where we do most of our posting and interacting on social media. We do, however, have Instagram, Facebook, and a YouTube channel. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you would like us to discuss, you can always hit us up on Twitter, but we do have an email at tailgatetalkspod@gmail.com. So with all that said, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
Texas Tech's Big 12 season is underway with a 1-0 record as the Red Raiders defeated the Arizona State Sun Devils in their first matchup as Big 12 conference foes over the weekend in a 30-22 battle. The Red Raiders coming out on top to start the conference play 1-0, which is great. Now a two-game winning streak, 3-1 on the season. I was out of town. I was on the beach in Cabo, but I was able to get a TV somehow. Yeah, it was pretty great. I was able to get a TV, watch the majority of the game, but you were there. So let's go ahead and get your thoughts on the victory over Arizona State and how was the stadium and everything like that.
Stadium and atmosphere were great. Did a great job of the half black, half red Raider power split, yeah, whatever they want to call it, which didn't really work out well for our side because now we wear black back to back weekends.
Yeah.
So like, I was like, dang it, I wore my better black out for last week. But yeah. Bummer.
Bring it back. It obviously worked.
Crowd was good. Energy was great. I mean, if you didn't see, there were some clips of the Arizona State head coach afterwards saying how much of a home field advantage that was against them. And that also just shows, like, it wasn't anything crazy. Like, it was a normal sold out game crowd. And, you know, we were dominating the game pretty much. So, like, they just hurt it all a lot. So it just shows you, like, how weak the Pac-12 was.
Yeah, if they're saying,
like, attending and loving football and cheering for their teams. But overall, my feeling, this is most of the game, was like, we dominated that game. Like, handled them the whole time. I was never worried.
Yeah.
I know the score is only a +8 for us, but we were up 2 touchdowns the whole game. Like, it was never crazy. And then the other part of it was their quarterback was awful.
Yeah.
I've never laughed and been so amazed at so many bad passes with just terrible accuracy. I mean, some of them were just like, oh, wow, that was horrendous. Yeah. And so, like, that was amusing as well. Little individualized, like, Scataboo, their running back. Look at the stat sheet. He had a good game, but he really, like, ripped off, like, one really good run, like, on a swing pass or something. But, like, overall, we did a really good job of bottling him up running game-wise. And, like, that was pretty much it right there. Like, we bottled him up running game-wise. He caught some passes for him, like, just because their quarterback couldn't do anything else, and he was dumping it off. And he was – Scottie was a good player and made stuff happen a little bit, but – yeah, their quarterback was awful, and we bottled them up, and offense looked damn good. Like, I was never really worried. Me and Yoen like this, me Kelsey and Brand kind of got in a chirping match with some people behind us because they were in the fourth quarter yelling gripes about Kitley, and that, the product on the field for this game did not warrant that at all. So we were like, what are you griping about, man? We're doing everything we want on offense.
I'm not gonna lie, I might have been on their side. I wasn't very thrilled by the offense in this game. I thought
it wasn't amazing, but we were handling them just fine. It was not a get riled up and gripe about at
I'm not like angry. Yeah, I didn't think it was a great offensive performance, but they had to do.
Right. But yeah, really good overall game.
Yeah, it's hard for me to like remember everything because there was just a lot going on. I was long paying attention. Their quarterback didn't look great. I thought his first pick was way like a terrible pass. I don't know.
He should have had more, but he was that bad.
Yeah,
like, he couldn't even throw it to our team.
He went 22 of 38 for 282 yards, one touchdown or one interception, no touchdowns. His longest pass was that little screen pass to Scadabo where he made a guy miss and then took it down the sideline for a long one. Yeah, he was the only guy who really hurt you. He had 62 yards on the ground and 117 or 60 yards on the ground and 117 receiving. So he beat you more through the air. And like you said, he had that 66 of that on one catch.
Right.
Other than that, yeah, their receivers weren't really hurting you. I thought the defense played great. I thought Taj was, running hard and looking good. I thought Josh Kelly was a big factor in this game. I thought Barron looked a little, I don't know. The offense to me was very much like all of last year's offense where it's like, okay, cool. You came out the gates. You scored on the first drive. I thought that looked good. Second drive, you needed a lot of help to get that drive going. You got like a help from a 15-yard face mask penalty when you were about to have to punt. That ended up keeping that drive alive. And then you were able to score on it. But other than that, you only had one really sustained drive the rest of the game that scored a touchdown. True. Other than that, you were getting held to a lot of field goals. Barron was 24 for 44. He was kind of throwing the ball all over the place. I thought there was some times where he, obviously just threw the ball out of bounds a few times to not take a sack. So there's some those in there. I thought there was some receiver drops along the way as well. But I don't know. I thought the offense didn't look like stellar in this game. I thought they did enough to win, but it kind of reminded me like last year where the defense was giving you a great performance, but you never did enough to go. You could have blown this team out. You should have blown this team out. Instead, at the end, you got to recover an onside kick.
Yeah, you're right.
But I guess just kind of while we are on the offensive side of ball. So your thoughts were Kitley called a good game? Or
he called a decent game. It wasn't warranted of verbally griping about it in the fourth quarter.
It wasn't
quarter.
Washington State.
No. So, it was fine. Can we be better? Sure. I mean, everybody thinks and knows that, and even him and the team. So, I didn't know the stats on Barron being almost 50% like that. I thought we ran the ball pretty well. Cam Dickey looked good also. It's like, that's good to know that your freshman backup that's now filling in with more time can handle himself a little better. Now, Taj did have to make some zero plays into positive plays, but I mean, we're just going to have to live with that and deal with it with his O-line at this point. But also, you got to know, like, especially with that end of the third and fourth quarter, that's all we're trying to do. Because we're trying to milk some clock, and we were good at it and they were trying to come at it and we still dealt with it. And so I liked some of the things we had going. Obviously there's room for improvement though.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hit or miss for me on this game. I definitely thought there was times where the offense looked good. I thought when you needed to score, you were able to get points. Like you needed to get some of those field goals. You needed to get a field goal before half. You needed to.
Right. I remember that.
You needed to start the half off with a touchdown drive and you did. And when they were able to kind of make it a little bit interesting there, you were able to get a couple more field goals to pad the lead. and make it a two possession game where they had to score and had to go for two. And so I thought you were better than, it wasn't a game to get super mad at, but the things that frustrate me were when you're up, 14-3 and you got a chance to go really build a lead and go up 21-3 when your defense was playing pretty good and giving you a chance to build on those leads. You were just never able to really do that. You just kind of let them stay in the game, and a better team is going to capitalize on those kind of things when you're not able to take advantage of those opportunities. And so I thought that was a little bit frustrating. I thought they let off the pedal a little bit after getting started 14-0. Like, you started off great and you're like, oh my gosh, we're going to blow this team out of the water. Then after that, it was just kind of struggle. So I thought it was a really, I still thought it was a good offensive game, but it reminds me a lot of what Kittley's done in the Big 12 so far, which is an offense that only averages like 24 points per game. I went and looked at all the games so far. And when you're playing a good team, it's just like, you don't really score much. You score like 24 points, 25 points. That's what you average. And so I would have liked to see us be a little better offensively this game, but they did enough to get the job done. But I thought the side of the ball that really shined a lot in this game was the defensive side of the ball. What do you think about Tim DeRuiter and the improvements this defense has made so far this season? That's saying that without Braylon Lux, who did not play in this game.
Right. Macho got the start over at that other corner spot and played well. Which is impressive, because we talked, especially me, talked up Braylon Lux so much in the preseason and first couple games. Hopefully we get him back, especially with some guys getting experience. Like, that's just great for you. But yeah, these guys are growing up real fast with all this experience. I mean, these pre-conference games and now this one, like, you've seen drastic improvements.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just some realization of what they got to do when the lights are on and growing up real fast, which only benefits us down the road and in future years with how many juniors and sophomores. I saw a stat that about 55% of our snaps are coming from underclassmen. Yeah. And a lot of those are not even underclassmen, from sophomores and freshmen. Like, underclassmen.
Yeah.
Way underclassmen. It's like, that's impressive. So, like, shout out to them and Macho getting the start and playing well. But yeah, I think this was a good game to ease into Big 12 play, because now it's like, all right, we got to level up with conference play. Luckily, we're playing a quarterback who has no clue how to work his own arm.
Yeah.
So that helps. Let's contain Scatamoo, and then we're fine. And we did. And, like, it's going to be the same story, I think, all year with the pass rush. Like, doesn't get home, but it causes pressure.
Yeah, I'll take at least having the pressure, because last year you weren't getting any pressure.
Right.
And so far in these last few games, you're getting there a little bit to rattle the quarterback. And, hey, that's something that you didn't have, and especially didn't have in the start of the game. So you're starting to see improvements kind of all around.
Yes. But, yeah, that's all I got for them. They handled it really well. And I think that's why in the stadium, at least, we felt – okay with how the offense was doing, because the defense was handling their team so well that we didn't feel that pressure, so kind of evened out really well.
Yeah, the defense was definitely doing their part to help secure this victory. I think it's a testament to Tim DeRuiter and why we had confidence in this unit coming into the season, his ability to kind of adjust. All right, here's what we did bad week one. Here's what we did bad week two. Had a terrible pass defense and had a terrible rush defense against the quarterback. Coming to this game, you did a great job stopping the run. You held them to under 100 yards rushing. Their quarterback didn't even really try to run the football. I don't know if that was just I don't know why Arizona State didn't try to do that more, or if that's something that we just had covered up so they couldn't. I don't really know. I did think that was a little bit bizarre that they didn't even really try to do that much stuff with that. But, in pass defense, I thought they did a really good job. And so you've seen a lot of progress from this team in just a handful of games. And so you kind of just expect them to keep getting better with more reps as the season continues. And so, hopefully you get Braylon Lux back in the mix, because you just have more guys that you can play more depth and more guys that you trust out there. But, you know, Macho, I thought, did a pretty good job out there. And so, you know, it's good to see these young guys and good to see them get some action and get better. I thought Chapman Lewis has been really good for you. I think he's improved a lot. He's made some really nice plays for you. And so it's fun to watch them out there moving around. Game got started. The other key part of this game, I think, is penalties. There was tons of unsportsmanlike conducts. There was tons of holdings. There was just a lot of penalties kind of all around both teams, really. But the Red Raiders had like 8 or something for 75 yards in the first quarter or so of the game. What are your thoughts on all of the penalties and really a team that looked pretty undisciplined when it came to that aspect of the game?
I think some of that also comes with the youth that we have playing.
Yeah.
And trying to play up to speed with bigger, faster, stronger people on the other side that you may not be as used to and as experienced with. And, you know, that just comes – some of it comes with time, but some of it also comes with coaching and practice. And I know that was brought up in the press conference again with Joey McGuire this week, and he reemphasized, like, we're working on it, we're emphasizing it, we're having, you know, college and an NFL guy from in town come in and help us at practice and give us some evaluation stuff. So it's all you can really ask for, but we just hope for improvement. Like, it's tough to deal with.
It's just some unnecessary stuff.
Yeah, that's what sucks, is it's not warranted.
Yeah, and there was just not like needed. There was like 2 or 3 straight possessions on both sides of the ball where you're just doing dumb shit after the play, and it's costing.
Yeah,
but luckily Arizona State was doing very similar things, so
yeah,
it was just a very bizarrely officiated game. I thought they kind of let it get out of hand early, but I don't really know what it was, but it just seemed like everybody would make a play and then would have to talk or do something a little extra. But what do you think about some of the holding calls? The one gripe I really had with this officiating crew was they were calling a lot of holding calls on us on that one drive where Arizona State was able to go down, and I think we stuffed them on a 4th down. They called like 3 holding penalties on us, and then like
defense,
yeah, on our defense, and then like 2 possessions later, we have the exact same type thing for where they're holding Josh Kelly or Caleb Douglas. I can't remember who it was. They didn't call any holdings against Arizona State's defense. I thought it was a very kind of bizarre, like they're giving all these calls for Arizona State, but there's a few times they're pretty handsy on some of our receivers, but we didn't get the benefit of a call.
Yeah, I don't quite recall that, and I didn't go back and watch, so I'm not sure. And maybe I didn't really catch it in the game with where we sit. And so, but yeah, the consistency is what we all want and ask for and try to do as officials myself. But I don't mind our guys being aggressive like that and trying to get a hold and get away with it. Now, once you get a little too many, there was one, maybe this is the drive you're talking about. It was incidental, I think, at best.
Yeah. And
it didn't even affect the tight end, I think, on this like corner route, and the ball was
not even close.
20 yards away from the dude, like over his head.
And yeah.
Like, that one was a bad call from the end zone. And that's the only one that, now that I'm thinking about it, I can remember.
Yeah, there's so 3 on one
that,
drive.
That's stuff you don't even worry about in practice and film, but some of the other ones, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, there was one drive where they moved all the way down the field because of holding.
This is the same drive, yeah.
Yeah,
this
they
is
didn't
like the
have
one in the end zone they got. They got like 5 yards of offense and 60 on penalties.
Yeah, it was a couple like, okay, yeah, I saw the holding there. There's one bad one, but then it was just like 2 drives later we had the ball and didn't make the same kind of call that they were making for them. Any other thoughts on the game or ready to move on?
No, let's get to Cincy or Club Red.
Yeah, we got to get through some other things before we get to Cincy. First off, let's go through some of the offensive stats from the game. Barron was, like I mentioned, 24 for 44 for only 201 yards, 2 touchdowns. Had a touchdown pass to Josh Kelly and a touchdown pass to John Carlos Miller.
Yeah, my dude.
Taj Brooks, 117 yards on the ground today. Another 100-yard game for Taj Brooks. Josh Kelly, 10 catches for 89 yards and a touchdown. Caleb Douglas, I thought, had a pretty solid game for you. 5 catches for 63 yards. And as I mentioned, John Carlos Miller's third straight game with a touchdown pass. So that's pretty fun to see him finding the end zone consistently. Defensive stats from the game, you had one interception. C.J. Baskerville with that interception on their Arizona State's first drive of the game. You had one sack in the game. You held Arizona State to 94 yards rushing. And Arizona State was 0 for 3 on fourth down attempts. I thought you did a really good job on those short fourth down conversions that they were trying to get, always keeping them and turning that ball over. So basically four turnovers for you when you count that there. So those are the stats for you in this game. Our prediction recap before we open up the club. I predicted 35-27, Dustin 38-31. So we were pretty close.
Yeah.
We were close. We were in the vicinity. So we both get the victory there. We both had Texas Tech -3.5. So we both get that there. We both had the over. The over did not hit. So we miss on that one there. Offensive prediction, I had two tight end touchdowns. Got that one right because we had John Carlos Miller. And Jalen Conyers had a Wildcat touchdown run against his former
team.
So got that one right. Dustin had a clean, no turnover game. We got that. No turnovers for the Red Raiders. We had one that looked like it was going to be a turnover, but it was an incomplete pass. So got lucky on that one. Defense, I had us holding Arizona State to under 200 yards rushing. We held them to under 100, so got that one right. Dustin had a special teams.
Extra points for you.
Dustin's had a special teams touchdown. He had a punt return or a kick return being take back. We did not have one, but you were a week off on your special teams bet because we did have a blocked field goal in this game. So if you'd have stuck with that one, you would have got that
right.
Tempting
to go special teams again.
Yeah, I'm
all over it.
No defensive predictions, just special teams predictions. So now that we got through that, let's go ahead and open up Club Red. Put
here, Chester! Somebody turn on some damn music!
Put here, Chester! All right, Dustin, offensive side of the ball, who is your offensive VIP?
Go a little off the grid here and go, yeah, that was a cool effect, I guess, because I'm using my hands over here.
What happened?
I did a double thumbs up and it gave me confetti or fireworks.
Whoa.
That was
so
fun.
For the listeners here, we all of a sudden got like fireworks and stuff on Dustin's screen. I don't know
See
what happened
I can
do
it
to
again
do that.
While
but
I intro this. Dang it, it didn't do it that time.
Damn.
All right, I'm going a little off the grid here.
So confused.
I'm going with our kickers for this one. They're scoring points. They're offensive. Geno and Reese haven't missed yet. They're in this kicker by committee, I guess you call it, competition. But no mess-ups. Great kickoffs from Reese. Geno and him both combined for some good clutch kicks to keep padding some points for us. So I'm going to let them in the Club Red today.
All right. I'm going to go with Josh Kelly, leading receiver. In this game, leading receiver on the team, found another, found his way into the end zone for the third time this season on a nice little screen pass that he had to, you know, make some moves and get his way into the end zone. I just think he's been really steady for you in the receiver room. We haven't let him into the club just yet, I don't think. And so we'll give him his nod here to enter club. Honorable mention, I will say, you know, Taj always gets in. Just so y'all know, but Cameron Dickey's little spin run that he had there on that third down, I'll you know, you can come on in with that. That was a pretty impressive move, and it was on like a third down too, so he was able to keep the drive going with that. So I'll kind of shout out him in that play there. The defensive side of the ball, Dustin, who are you going with?
I got a couple right now, so I'll let you go first to see what gets taken.
I was going with Chapman Lewis as I thought he made a lot of nice plays. He had one of those fourth down stops for you. He had the batted deflection on the 2-point conversion attempt that they had at the end. I think he's made a lot of strides from the first game to now. And he's kind of flying around back there making plays for you in the secondary. So I'm going to give my nod to Chapman Lewis.
I'll stay in the secondary then. I'll give two out. Honorable mention to Macho for the fill-in start. he can slide on in with us. But then CJ with the pick, we get a take one there to start the game. That momentum early was huge for the team in the stadium and the fans. Like, that was huge. So, like, shout out to him for that pick.
Yeah, it was kind of one of the one moment in the game where I was like a little jealous that I wasn't in there to get the start with the touchdown, the interception right after of at the stadium was going pretty wild there and set you up in great field position to go score again. So shout out to everybody who made Club Red this week. And that will transition us into the next game where the Texas Tech Red Raiders are set to face off with the Cincinnati Bearcats for the first time as Big 12 conference foes. We've only faced them one time in the past, and that game ended in a tie somehow. So looking for the first game with an actual winner between Texas Tech and Cincinnati. The Bearcats come into the season with a 3-1 record. They're fresh off a dominant 34-0 victory over the Houston Cougars to start conference play. And so, Dustin, I'll kick it over to you because you were our Cincinnati person when we did our preseason opponent check-in. So I'll let you kind of handle the Cincinnati Bearcats and what we can expect.
So since you mentioned the last game, Cincinnati last year, they went 3-9, so they've already matched that. Only went 1-8 in the conference last year. You know who that win was against?
Houston.
Houston, they made them look terrible again. So Cincinnati loves playing Houston.
How original, Cincy.
Yeah, Donovan Smith might have lost his job. He had like 78 passing yards and got pulled in that game. But yeah, Scott Satterfield in his second year, they got pretty good, decent quarterback in Brennan Sorsby, an Indiana transfer. Going to be way better than the Arizona State kid.
Yeah, I forgot what his name was. I was trying to remember, and then I remember Emory Jones or whatever. Or no, they had an Arizona State transfer last year or something like that. I don't know.
Sorsby's actually competent back there.
He's not going to be throwing the ball 10 yards over a dude's head.
Right. Good news is they are not great at receiver. I mean, they got an ex Xavier Henderson with an X and a Z. So I'm calling him Xavier. He's good, and they also have a legit NFL like tight end type dude, basically like a Jalen Conyers comparison, like gonna get drafted, about the same size and skill set. So like they got two guys that we got to worry about on that end with Sorsby, but they're gonna try to run the ball with Corey Kiner. He had over 1,000 yards last year. He's a really good running back. So like you're gonna hear this a lot in the Big 12. I think we did this last year too. There's a lot of good running backs, and we're going to go through a stretch of them. We got another one next week. So we're going to say this again. Got some running backs to deal with. But this time it's not a running back only like Scataboo was last week. So like, focus on Kiner, make sure he doesn't get rolling, and try to contain Xavier Henderson. And don't let Sorsby get crazy on us. You know, don't let him go Maverick MacGyver. Yeah. And like, defense, they got four starters back, so they try to transition a lot of dudes. They got a legit D tackle, but then they added a lot of transfers, overhauled their DB room. So, like, that's totally flipped back there because they were terrible in their defense last year. So, not too much to dive into on that end, especially with, well, playing Houston doesn't give us much to look at.
Yeah.
So, but hey, to get a shutout in Big 12 play in this day and age, like, shout out to them for that. So like,
definitely got them feeling good about themselves. Yeah. That's for sure. Some other little defensive nuggets. So far this season, they're giving up 248 yards through the air and 140 on the ground. They've combined for 10 sacks this season.
But they played Donovan Smith.
Yeah, they played Donovan Smith. They have 3 interceptions and 4 fumble recoveries. Yeah,
okay.
I have a hard time knowing what to expect from Cincinnati coming into this game. Like you said, blew out Houston, blew a terrible game to Pitt where they should have won that one, and that one was at home. I don't really know what to expect from this team.
I really think they're a better version of Arizona State.
Yeah. Just with like a quarterback who doesn't run the football, even though he does have.
That's their biggest upgrade is they have a competent quarterback. But a lot of other things kind of line up
with
what Arizona State was. And so makes me feel good going in that I think we handled them really well. Obviously saw some, we can do this and that better, catch the ball a little better, but that makes me feel better. But that's what I kind of compared them to, is like, they're what Arizona State wants to be.
Yeah, I think that's a good comp. And very similar teams when you take a look at last year, they both sucked. This year they're trying to improve. Second year coaches both went to the portal to try to find a quarterback. Sorsby, you know, so far has thrown for 1,000 yards. Seems like a quarterback that you have to pay attention to a little bit than maybe the ASU quarterback from last week. Has some better weapons. I think that's definitely one of the cases for Arizona State, is just they didn't have any receivers that you're super worried about. You know, at least since he's got a couple guys that, like Xavier Henderson and Joe Royer, the tight end that you've got to worry about, that they're going to try to get the ball to. And then another good running back. And, you know, you managed to kind of contain Scatabo in the run, but you let him beat you as a receiving weapon. So I'm curious if Cincinnati saw that and how they're going to try to use Kenner, if they're just going to try to run the ball with him, which, you know, Scatabo didn't have great success doing, or if they're going to try to use him as a pass catcher, try to use him that way and kind of steal from what Arizona State did there to you. But defensively, I think, you know, what we did last week against Arizona State makes me feel confident in this one. And offensively, what are you kind of expecting? Like you said, going in against a defense that's pretty new still as a unit. Yeah. I know they got Dante Corleone down there on the D line, but other than that, not really many names out there that people are familiar with.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Kiner is going to be the focus for sure. Mohorn on Xavier Henderson is the other big matchup to watch. And what do we do with that tight end? So we haven't faced a tight end like this all year.
Yeah.
I mean, we got one in practice to go against though. So that helps.
Yeah. It always helps. Oh yeah. And you got three guys that you got to pay attention to in practice.
No joke.
So yeah, you know, offensively, I'm looking for, you know, I just want to see an improvement from last week to this week. Not that last week was terrible. Once again, you did what you needed to do. I just want to see you put a little bit more pressure on the other team to have to like try to keep up with you, you know, and that causes other teams to make more mistakes, quarterbacks to try to make force a pass where they shouldn't. And I think, you know, that's what I want to see from Kittley in conference play, is really be able to separate yourself from the other team and not be in all these kind of close one score battle games, even if it didn't feel like it against Arizona State. They recover that onside kick and then, you know, they have an opportunity to go down and tie it there. You know, I would like to be sitting there at the end of this game on Saturday with a couple score lead and feel like, all right, the offense was able to go out there and attack from start to finish, consistency, like we've talked about. I just want to see it against a solid team.
I get that feeling. Yep.
And we only see it when it's like North Texas or Murray State or whoever. You don't see it against the good team. So I would like to see that this weekend. You got any other thing on Cincy that you want to talk about offensively, defensively, or?
No, not on them.
Okay. Yeah, we've got a Cowboys game that we know we're recording in, so we're trying to get this episode through. So it's a bit of a quicker one for you guys. So we're just going to keep it moving on to go ahead and get our predictions in for this Texas Tech-Cincinnati game. I've been on a heater these last couple games.
Yeah,
so let's see if I can keep it going. Dustin's also been
I've been all over it.
We've been in the vicinity. We've got some half
playing
points
in the special team, so like.
Yeah,
I'm off so, in the side room gambling.
He's doing his own thing over here. So let's go ahead and start off with our score predictions. Dustin, what's your score prediction for Texas Tech Cincinnati? 7 p.m. kickoff on Saturday.
Your stat earlier about Kittley's
scoring.
Say that again.
We've averaged like 24 points per game. The last two seasons, I didn't do the first year. But the last two seasons against Big 12 teams or Oregon and Washington State, I threw in there as well. You're scoring like 24
that
points.
That affected me. Made me knock us down a couple points.
Yeah.
Because I still have the air raid Texas Tech ingrained in me.
Yeah.
And want points and feel the points.
Like, look at our score predictions. Like, we've definitely, like, last week, we were on the high end, even though we only settled for, like, 38 or so points. So, yeah, it's...
Yeah, I've been 38, 38, 48. So, I'm going to go 31 to 27 Texas Tech wins this one.
Thought you were about to say the score that I was going to say, which is 31-24.
Okay, I like it.
I had, like, 38. I was going to go like you had been, 38-31. I was feeling that.
I had 33-28. And I was like, 33 sounds like a lot now.
Yeah. That's what I've been thinking too. I was like, 34. But then I'm like, can we, like, even with 31, it's like, can we score four touchdowns?
Four and a half. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to keep my scores maybe a little bit lower than I originally want to, just because of what I said. Kittley, just in this offense, doesn't really put up a whole lot of points. But luckily, your defense has given you chances to win these games by holding the opponents to pretty low scores. So the spread right now is Texas Tech as a -3. So
sweet.
We are both taking Texas Tech there, Dustin, by...
I was worried about that.
Yeah, by a point right now. I'm taking Texas Tech as a touchdown favorite, so we're both there. The over-under is 58.5 right now, so we are both...
I'm right under it.
Under that. You're right on the line there.
58. Oh, yeah. Man, I hate the under. No.
I hate the under, but...
Who am I going to
We're probably going to hit the under. We're probably going to have to hit the under. Like, I don't know. I don't see this being a very high scoring game. All right, let's move over to our offensive and defensive predictions. Dustin, what route you going with offensive?
I don't know why this one hit me earlier today thinking about this game, but I'm feeling a little frisky in the receiving game.
Okay.
We're going to go 200-yard receivers.
200-yard receivers. All right.
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
That'd be incredible. Josh Kelly's been the only single guy to do it.
I don't know if we've done that in under Kittley. We might have done that like in Kittley's first game here when we played Montana State or whatever. But
I'm just feeling like they're selling out for the top Taj so much in this game that we're going to hit some shots. Or break some open.
Yeah. I'm going receiver route as well. I'm not going something so bold, but I've been really liking what I've been seeing from Caleb Douglas the last few games.
Ooh, yeah.
I think him and Barron are developing a nice relationship. I think he's got some speed and athleticism to him that makes him a dangerous weapon. I think, like you said, they're going to be keyed in on Taj.
Sure.
I think they're going to definitely be keyed in on Josh Kelly. And I think that means a big day for Caleb Douglas. I'm not going to say over 100 yards or whatever, but I think he's going to be the leader in receiving in this game for the Red Raiders.
Okay.
So I'm going Caleb Douglas as your leading receiver. I'm trying to like dial my predictions back just a little bit so this year. But also,
and that's the hard part is dialing that, back.
But that would still be he hasn't led us in receiving in a game, so that's still like a bit of a bold prediction. All right, defensive side of the ball, what route are you going?
I'm going back to defense, not going special teams today. But since he has not thrown an interception this year, I think we're going to get one from him.
Damn, I did the exact same thing.
Yeah. Let's double down on it.
Yeah, I had defense forces Sorsby's first INT.
Boom. There's a nugget for you guys.
Yeah, something I failed to mention when talking about Cincinnati and Sorsby is that he doesn't turn the ball over, and this is a team that takes care of the football.
Yeah.
But I don't think they've been in really any hostile situation yet. Right. So I'm curious how he's going to be in the Jones on a Saturday night with the crowd rocking in the blackout and some defensive pressure is going to force that first INT. Hopefully maybe a couple. I like it when I get to say take two or take three. That's really fun, especially in the Jones. So, all right.
Glad you mentioned that. Make sure you wear black Saturday night. It's a blackout game. Attend the game. You can black out in multiple ways, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But make sure you're wearing black as you're doing the other blackout part.
Yeah, but Enjoy the game on Saturday night. We will be there in our black attire for the 7 p.m. kickoff against the Cincinnati Bearcats. Excited. And just your thoughts on Cincy coming to town and getting to see them for the first time before we move on.
Well, I feel like we have a connection to Cincy just on the color scheme. Like,
yeah.
At least I feel that way. I don't know if Texas Tech feels that way, but like they're the only red, black, and white school that wears a lot of the same stuff we do. You know, sometimes you get some schools with very same color schemes that vary it up. And so I saw their uniforms today.
Shout out to
Cincy Uniform Tracker, going all white with a black logo on their helmet. So that's kind of lame.
Yeah, all white helmet or the white out against the black out would have looked pretty cool.
Side tangent. Iowa State's doing the stupid white and black uniform again.
Ugh, hate them.
Not your school colors. Throw in some school colors. Your school colors.
I still think it'll look good out there. The Tech black versus the Cincy white. It'll be a nice uni combo out there. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said last week,
and with the Arizona State.
I don't even want to talk about that.
Me neither. I just had to throw it in there.
Makes me want to throw up. But yeah, like I said last week, just getting to see these new teams come into the Jones, gives a little excitement. You know, got some buddies coming in for this game, so it's going to be fun weekend. Get to see these guys go play Cincy for the first time, and hopefully for the first time you get a victory over Cincinnati. Hopefully the first game that has a winner and a loser has the Red Raiders on the right side of this one and the losers as the Cincinnati Bearcats. And, you know, I will say, the Viva La Cats, the podcast that we had from our Cincinnati fan base that we did, I think it was a couple summers ago
now. 2 years ago,
yeah. They've been good sports, so it's not like a team that I hate or anything, but I do hope that we beat them and that we can talk a little bit of shit to them. That would be fun. So looking forward to this game. We hope that you all enjoy your tailgates, wear black, and get rowdy at the Jones on Saturday night for a big one and a big opportunity to start Big 12 play 2-0 before you hit the road and go off and face the Arizona Wildcats in a late nighter. So that will do it for our Texas Tech talk this week. Dustin, final shots before we get out of here for the week.
I think we got to mention the UNLV situation.
I figured you were going to go that route. I'm going to do the Texas Tech basketball schedule because I figured you were going to say this.
I mean, UNLV is going through it right now. They just, if you hadn't kept up, their quarterback opted to redshirt for the rest of the year. They're 3-0 with a possibility to, be that group of five team that makes the 12-team playoff this year. He had been a four-year player at Holy Cross, transferred to UNLV. There's a lot of stories out there, so I'm not picking sides necessarily. Because UNLV is claiming there was no NIL deal with this player. The player and agent and parents or whoever, I don't know who else is on his side, are saying they promised such and such and never came through. Maybe they did, and it was a verbal agreement. That means nothing.
Yeah.
I'd get trying to get your money, but also you need that in writing and how you're getting it and details of this. Like, don't just jump right in, man. So, like, they're in a bad spot. And then they're hours later, their running back goes to the portal also. He came out and said it's not NIL related. It's playing related. So,
deal breaker.
The best thing. Thank you. Great segue. That's exactly where I was going. We're seeing NCAA college football, the video game. If you do that dynasty mode, you have deal breakers. Your quarterback is about brand exposure. He's not getting it. And playing time for the running back, and you're not meeting it, so he's transferred. Like, it's happening in real time.
The only difference is in college football, they don't immediately hit the portal. You just, stay there. And
the quarterback situation sucks. I get it from, both sides. I don't know what the real story is yet.
Yeah.
And so that sucks.
It's definitely an interesting story, especially when you're NIL and stuff like that. If he wasn't getting paid, I'm definitely on his side of this. But
we've seen a little bit of that here before.
Oh, yeah.
With basketball.
Yeah. Don't want to talk about that player, but I'm kind of surprised that this stuff hasn't happened, or maybe it's happened more. It just hasn't been in like on social media or stuff like that as much. But it was only a matter of time before something like this happened. And nowadays you can play 4 games and keep your red shirt and move on. And hey, you started off this season 3-0, 2-0 against Big 12 teams, looking like a shot here. It does make me question, like, all right, are you about the team, about yourself? But, you know, if you're not getting paid, you're not getting paid. If you're not getting what you're supposed to, you're gonna put their body out on the line every week. I get that.
And, I mean, he's not an NFL guy.
No. So you're making money now.
So he's
going
to try to make some money while he can. Like, I don't blame him for that.
Yeah, but it makes you wonder, was there a sketchy agent involved, like the Chris Wash dude, or did something like that happen?
I've seen his name pop up recently.
But I did appreciate that, like, somebody interviewed Joey, and Joey came out and was like, no, we make sure our players, we know what they're getting. We know we make them sign contracts. Our players get every penny of what they are expected to get. He's like, we don't have any mess-ups there.
That's the other hard part is, like, now – with it being so state to state, Texas has a very more streamlined way for these guys to get their money. Like, we don't need an agency to do it for us anymore.
But also,
Club can do it right away.
But not
they
all
can
of
do
these
agencies too. But they don't. We don't need to Matter Club. Boom, money.
But not all these schools have the same kind of
UNLV.
Right.
Nevada has different rules, and you got to go through, you know, third parties to get this figured out and accomplished. And there can be some miscommunication there.
Well, to be fair, I mean, NIL doesn't have any real guidelines or anything like that.
I said
so
that from the beginning.
Shit was bound to happen.
There's
it's the
no
Wild
rules.
West. Yeah, there's no rules. And they just said, hey, here it is. Figure it out. And so there's going to be some messy stuff. But yeah, interesting story. Hitting college football. Wonder if we'll start to see more of that stuff happen. But my final shot is the Texas Tech Big 12 basketball schedule was released. Well, all of the Big 12 basketball schedules were released, Lady Raiders and the Red Raiders schedule. So we now know the dates. We knew the homes. We knew the aways, the home and away teams. Now we know when we play them. And so just kind of a brief looking at the schedule. It's going to be a really fun schedule. You got Arizona coming to town Saturday, January 18th. Got a New Year's game.
New Year's Eve.
It's going to be fun. Any thoughts on the schedule that you saw or anything that stood out to you?
I mean, can't really dissect schedule this hard.
Yeah.
I mean, when you add better teams, and then you add 2 more games. It's like, oh. I mean, I have some thoughts that, like, there's a couple really tough stretches.
Yeah.
I really like the – I think our only back-to-back away games are early, and it's on a weekend in BYU and Utah. So we can just stay up there.
Yeah,
that's a nice deal.
Yeah, like Oklahoma State and TCU later
those
in the
are
season
close.
Back
I'm
to
not
back.
Worried
that's
about. Not that's
bad.
Not a road trip to us. Like, it's no West Virginia, Iowa State back to back like we did last year. Like, actual road trips outside the state.
Yeah, your toughest stretch looks like it's going to be mid conference where
you have like that week 2 and week 3 or row 2 and week 4, 2 and 4.
Yeah, you got Iowa State you got Iowa State on a Saturday, Kansas State on a Tuesday, Arizona on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And then later in the season, you got Houston on a Saturday, Baylor at home on a Tuesday, and then at Arizona on a Saturday. So
three top 5 games right there in a row.
Those are some brutal stretches. Just going to be another war in the Big 12, but that's what we're used to.
There's no dissecting it and being like, oh, we only have to play Baylor once.
Yeah,
we got to play Arizona and Houston twice. Like, you're not getting any good trade-offs in this situation. It's not like football.
Yeah, you're going to have to play somebody.
You're going to play good-ass teams all the time.
I guess maybe the one lucky thing is you get Oklahoma State twice.
Yes, and Arizona State twice, because I don't think they're good.
Yeah, that too. So, yeah, woo-hoo! Some of that stuff kind of works out in your favor, but nice to have the schedule out and know when you're playing everybody. Now you can put that on your calendars, and if you're not don't have season tickets yet, get in on that action. But yeah, well, that will do it for us here this week at Tailgate Talks. Make sure you are following us. Follow us on Apple. Follow us on Spotify. Give us those 5 stars for the tailgate. And if you listen to us on Apple, you can leave us a review there. Also, follow us on social media. We are on Twitter at @Tailgate_talk. So if we can get thoughts out at Jones AT&T Stadium on Saturday night, we will try to get those out. Dustin made the fireworks go off again on the screen. I don't know how he is doing that, but... I am currently watching. But yeah, follow us there on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube channel if you would like. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us this week. We hope you have fun and safe tailgates on Saturday for Texas Tech and Cincinnati. And as always, we'll catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.